truth.
Good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Crummett Winterode II with the Ralph Winterode Show. And I hope you're sitting down for today, because Curtis Lyson out of North Carolina called up about something called class legislation. I had looked at that. It's private and special law, local law, general law, public law, all that. I had looked at that back in 2011, but I didn't know what to do with it. I know conclusively that our Matsu Borough is under temporary and special acts. It is private law. They got a set of books for that, and they're not supposed to be doing it normally. There are occasions where they can get away with this. So, anyway, with that said, boy, does that throw a whole new... The final part of trying to understand how they've overthrown our republic right in front of us, and we keep signing up to a system, making dang sure that we are slaves to the system. Boy, it's taken a long time to get all this. It's absolutely. I cannot thank Curtis enough that everybody puts in something and gets things different. Pieces of this, and I pay attention, and if it's valid, I go check it out. And we've got the pieces now to, I think, expose the whole rotten mess. It's amazing, and it's shocking. It's got to be the principalities of evil, because no man could be this. I mean, it is ingenious. Got to give them credit. But it started back in about the 1845 or 50 era, before the Civil War. And they just been chipping away at it, one little piece at a time, one more little piece of sand at a time. So it's been going on a long, long, long time. And I've been at this since 2001, basically full time, since my business got closed down. and I lost my business because I did a film for Joyce Riley. We're going to miss her. She's died here back in June. Very smart lady that really got after the Gulf War syndrome. I did the first video for her. I had money back then. I got the UAA. I brought up a guy, a doctor, that his wife had been deceased. His, a guy that was in Kamasia over there, that on the 10-mile square in Iraq. He was in charge of that, first-hand knowledge. It's amazing, though, that right at the UAA auditorium, holds 900 and some. We got about 250 or so, I don't know, maybe 300. I sent copies of certified documents to 60 of them slimy legislators out of Juneau, and 20 of those bastards show up, and not a one of them stayed for the whole thing. And here we got a doctor here. We got a with first-hand knowledge. I mean, he's a physician. Incredible. We got this guy that was a first-hand knowledge that was in the military. His wife got it. He got it. His kids got it. Dogs got it, and dogs died from it. Really, and it's mental. And he was forced to go to the veterinarians to get doxycycline, which is an antibiotic that they were supposed to be giving all of the military. And there's one country walked away from Iraq with no incidents of the Gulf War syndrome, France. Isn't that amazing? What? How did they walk away? They gave all their troops doxycycline. They left all their machinery, all their clothes, when they left Iraq, because it could get in sweat, it could get into clothes, it was into semen. And the only reason why they found out about this thing is because they made the mistake of getting a daughter of a microbiologist that had the wherewithal to go in and find out they created this dang thing, this whatever you want to call it, and it would go into the cells, but it could come out through the cell walls, and depending on where it came out, you got different symptoms like fibromyalgia and different, so you got different symptoms, and of course the good old Veterans Administration denied everything. It's all psychological. And Joyce Riley, really, she got a Veterans Administration, and I don't know how many thousands of vets she helped. Oh, I don't know the exact name of it, but she really went after it. Very smart, very highly educated. She was a whistleblower, too, on another issue, and she won. When she was a nurse, registered nurse. So I haven't said much about her, but she's going to be sorely missed, as she was fighting the fight. She had a show on Genesis, Power Hour. So I guess somebody else is taking that over. I haven't checked to see what they're doing over there. But anyway, enough of that. Make just a couple of comments here, and then we're going to get into the real. This is amazing information. I have got, thanks to John Thornton and James McAlpine in John Thornton in Minnesota and James McAlpine in North Carolina. I've got a machine coming that can scan. I have a treasure trove of old books, and my scanner will not touch the ruling case law, which came out in the 1919 time frame, somewhere along in there. The paper's not real slick. There's 28 volumes to it. I have also a set of the American Jurisprudence, the first set of that, and there's more volumes of that. Have some other ones, Words and Phrases, and some other books. I've got to be careful on some of these because they're copyrighted, but these other ones are not. And when I started to researching this out from what Curtis told me in North Carolina, well, I went into, of course, Corpus Juris Secundum, Amgur 1. There's a lot of different places that you can go look, and you can get different kind of like a hooks or different places to start. And so I go in there, and this is an amazing game that these guys are playing. And I'm probably the only guy in America that's got both the ruling case law and Amgur 1 to begin with, plus some of these other books. I spent from somewhere between $60,000 to maybe $100,000 on books. I used to get them out of a law book exchange back east, and he would pull these books when they came through. Like, this is a complete set. I don't know how many thousands of dollars I get for each one of these. I've got books of the missing 13th Amendment out of Virginia. I give $1,000 for two books. I don't know if there's how many of them in existence, so they can't say that Virginia didn't do it, because I got an original book. I got a couple of other books from other states missing 13th Amendment. These dang lawyers aren't supposed to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. Then it passed. But anyway, with this set of books, so I started looking into this class legislation, and these guys are really good, because what they do in Corpus Juris Secundum, they will give you some cases. They will give you a general statement of fact, and they may cite some stuff. But this one particular, just the one here that I got about temporary and special act, now I'm trying to understand all this, because I know this is what they're doing now, and but I need to really thoroughly understand it, where they can do it and when they can't do it. So I looked at this one case that they cited in, and it was the Supreme Court of Mississippi. It's Vardaman. Vardaman versus McBee, M-C-B-E-E, and it's a 1945 case. And the site on it is 198 MISS 251, 198 MISS 251. Of course, all these cases are available in Westlaw, almost without exception, all these old cases. So I said, well, this is interesting. I want to see what this thing says. And so you go read this stuff, and they start talking about this here, and they said, this is in this case, and they say the thing to look at is the object to be accomplished and whether or not the classification is reasonably expected to attain the object and is germane thereto. Whether the legislation is wise or unwise, politic or impolitic, is not a question for the court, but exclusively one for the legislature. It is not the providence of the court to put the legislature in a straitjacket and unduly limit the police power of the state so necessary in a democratic form of government, yada, yada, yada. Ah, then we start to get down to the real meat here in two paragraphs. Class legislation, also often called local or private, and those are different, local or private legislation, is legislation limited to a certain persons or class of persons, natural or artificial, or in certain districts of the territory of a state, and statutes which make unreasonable or arbitrary classifications or discriminations violate provisions of the Constitution prohibiting special laws granting any special or exclusive privileges, immunities, or franchises, or pass for the benefit of individuals inconsistent with the general law of the land. Well, they cite Corpus Juris, okay, in this thing. Well, I happen to have that, Corpus Juris. So, this earlier stuff. And then they go on to say, it is said in the ruling case law, I have that, the 1919 set, where a law is broad enough to reach every portion of a state, to embrace within its provisions every person or thing distinguished by characteristics sufficiently marked or important to make them clearly a class by themselves, it is not special or local, but a general law. Even though there may be but one member of a class or one place which operates, see Volume 25, Ruling Case Law, page 815, section 66. Well, isn't that special? Okay, so we got a general thing, but where's all my cases? They cite ruling case law. Okay, probably there are some libraries that have it, like Gonzaga Law Library. That's one of the ones that I've got a few books out of, single books that are very few in existence. Do you think they're going to send me a book that's like out of an encyclopedia set to let me to Alaska, let me copy it? No, they're not going to let it. They're not going to let it out of their control. Whether it's in Anchorage, I have no idea. I haven't called to see how many of those ruling case law 28 volumes are in existence. I have a very nice set, which I am going to get the bindings cut and scan them, OCR them, and make them available to people on the IRS list. These books like this need to be spread far and wide so that they're not lost. But if I didn't have ruling case law, okay, I got a general statement. Sounds good, doesn't it? But what do I cite? Ruling case law. Where do I get that? Okay, so I go to the law library, if they have it, which they probably don't. I can make a copy of a certain pages. Can I check the books out? They're not going to let you check out these volumes like this and take them to a copy machine. You can copy them there, but that's a real expensive, time-consuming process at the UAA in Anchorage, the University of Alaska in Anchorage, if they even have it. I have this set of books. And thanks to John and James, I'm going to be able to scan them. Because my scanner wouldn't touch them. Because the pages aren't slippery. There's something different about this HP, the way that it does pages, it copies them or it scans them, because all copy machines are scanners anymore in reality, and then they go directly to PDF or they go to the print or whatever else you want to do to them. But I'm going to make it available. Now the question becomes, what am I going to learn from this? Because you see, I take just this one page, your 815. So I go into this thing, excuse me, and I go into page 815, and it's talking about special and local laws. Now, on one page, there's probably two paragraphs, and there's probably 40 cases cited. That's page 813. I go to the next page, there's one big paragraph, and half the page is all case cites again. I go to the next one, it's a small paragraph, and three-fourths of it is all case cites again. I go to the next page, and there's probably three lines, and the whole rest of the page is case cites. I go to the next one, and there's about 8 or 10 lines, and all the rest is case cites. I go to the next one, there's probably about 20 lines, so over half of it is case cites. Same thing on the next page. The next one, there's probably about 70% of it's case cites. The next one, there's three lines, and all the whole rest of the page is all case cites. Are you starting to understand now why it is important to have ruling case law? Because we have to be able to read more than a general statement. We have to have the cases that they have conglomerated down into the latest Amgur or Corpus Juris Secundum with a statement, but they're basing it on something that I can't. I need to read this stuff to understand it. How do they arrive at this? They tell me where to go. But my God, in this thing here, there's several hundred cases that's explaining this stuff. And I just started today. I got back from breakfast. And I just started looking into these. What is really going on with this stuff? And you can't make this stuff up because we don't know. How are we going to know this stuff? I know how they got rid of our federal courts and all that stuff. I got the evidence of it now. There's no longer any doubt about it. It's there. So I just went looking at one of these first cases that was cited out of this several hundred. And this is State X. Real versus the Attorney General of SAYRE Judge, and the cite on it is 142 ALA. It's Alabama case 641. 142 ALA 641. Okay, or it's 39 SO, that's for South, 240. It's a 1904 case. It's one of a whole myriad of these cases. God, did I learn a bunch just reading this one case. Now then, it makes so much sense of what the states are doing and the federales are doing. They are legislating what they call public law, and public law is not general law. All general law is public law, but all public law is not general law. It gets worse. Hang on a minute. Well, we'll be back. Got to go pay some bills, sir. Thank you.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here, and I'm going to have to go over this several times because people that are listening to this, I don't think you're going to grasp the concept, because this is a mind twist. It's not overly complicated, but it is to explain it. And now it explains some of the other things that I've seen on these court systems. The appellate courts, 1 through 11 in the D.C. court versus the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. I don't know why I kept saying, I'm going to find out, why do we have that Federal Circuit Court of Appeals? Why is it different? There must be something about it different, and why would we have it? Amazing. And so this one case that I'm looking at here, this is out of Alabama. And this was done, It was done in 1904. A Supreme Court of Alabama. There is a wealth of knowledge here. And this is just one. I just got started on this to understand what they're doing. Now, in the statutes of the United States, they used to call them statutes of the United States in 1789. Then somewhere along the line, they changed the private law. I got to go back and look because I've got all those. Private law. Why? Why not call it statutes of the United States? Why didn't it do private law? Or public law, I mean. I'm sorry, not public, private, but public law. What happened? Does it mean the same? We are living in an age where these slick-toothed lawyers, liars, have taken our English language, and it is replete with definitions and terms They are as crazy and as far out as dog means cat, and I kid you not. And its exclusive use, when it says means, they have changed the complete definition of that word to a term. And with the means, then that gives it a whole new meaning. You can't find it anywhere except buried somewhere in one of these codes or chapters. And this is the con job they're using on all these forums. You can't read a form and actually ever understand what you're signing up for. I guarantee you. I was just looking at a simple traffic citation of John Thornton in Minnesota. It just boggles the mind when you start to understand, well, what does that mean? Well, what does that mean? What's an offense? What's a citation? What state of Minnesota? Well, is it this state or state of Minnesota? It just goes on and on and on. And what person? What's the definition of person? What's the definition of individual? Because they all have different meanings. They have taken what we think we're reading, and it's a term buried somewhere. And they only put certain term definitions in certain chapters, and there are other ones that they don't disclose because they're buried someplace else in the code. And that's why without Westlaw, you have no chance. You're just peeing in the wind. Because you can search for things that have means, words, or whatever, and locate them if they're buried somewhere. And then see if they have application, because just like United States, it's geographical here, it's territorial here, it means the several states here. Wait a minute, I thought we only had one United States, the Union of the Several States. Nope. Why do they say this state? Why is some of it all tied into the federalities and within this state? It just goes on and on and on. This state means that maybe the District of Columbia. It's just, I tell you, it's so screwed up. But there, we can simplify it. Simply stated, all of the courts in all these states are illegal because they're all under temporary and special acts, private law, depending on how they're put together. They're not constitutional courts. Why? How can we say that? Because no court can be established except by the citizens of the several states exercising their elective franchise, their suffrage. There is no right for a citizen of the United States to do anything except Congress is using that fictional status to make sure that can go against any state law or any state actors. And that's in this 1938 congressional record I found with the based on Cruikshank and Slaughterhouse and all kinds of holdings of the Supreme Court. And otherwise, citizen of the United States would remain dormant, not even to be used. And it's a prohibition. Citizen of the United States, 13th and 14th, 15th are prohibitions. So back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains suntein and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back here. This is monumental of what they're doing. I can say I have conclusively about 100, I think it's 113, and it's 109 of them, I think, that have actually have complaints. When this fictional world heads into the United States District Courts, which came out of monitoring the territory of Hawaii in 1948, which I can conclusively prove with their stuff because they admit it, and it was due to accepted practice. Isn't that just dang special? All these United States District Courts are nothing more than private courts. And there is no provision in the Constitution of the United States to combine all of these in Chapter 5 like they have done, territorial courts, the District Courts of the United States under Article 3, Section 2, that's constitutional courts, and administrative. There's no provision in the Constitution to put all these in one chapter and say, due to accepted practice, hoo-ha, here we go. Now, that really is a great constitutional foundation, and that's what they printed. Congress said that. They put them all together. And then because they're all in the same chapter, due to accepted practice. So we have all these crazy courts that are all private in reality. They do not arise under any of the articles, because the articles, you can't combine all these courts together. That's why they have different articles. They have different jurisdictions. But it becomes a lot clearer now, because in 1982, they established a new federal court of claims, which was Article 3, along with the, actually said it was Article 3 up to 1982. They had the Court of International Trade and the Patents Court. Those were all Article 3 courts. They actually could print it. It's amazing. Congress actually could put it in print. Then they changed it, 1982. The only way, our remedy, is to get into the Federal Court of Claims, Article 1 court, which is operating on the limitations of an Article 3, and then the only, then you can appeal directly to the only Article 3 appellate court in these United States, the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. That's it. That's the remedy. But you can't go, we've already tested a lot of this stuff, you can't go from the United States District Court into that court because they've blocked us statutorily. So they say if you're want to be a slave and as a citizen of the United States of the United States District Court, you can't get over in the constitutional side. Isn't that this thing special? You can't go from tax court in there. You have to know how to plead it to go into the first, to get your to the door open, and then you can play with them. Been there, done this, got this all documented. Randy Kirkendall's case. This was an amazing case. United States District Court started off with United States of America. All these are, and you know what United States of America says? I got it in 109 complaints now. I've got to get them all printed because it's all evidence. That is a public document from the Department of Justice. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. And what I discovered, which has been sitting right in front of me, was just when you see these things that are right there and somehow my eyes is just, I'm not paying enough attention. Nobody represents the United States of America. It's always by and through or undersigned counsel. They never say for. None of that happens to United States of America. But the next thing you know, they're going using United States because it's by and through or undersigned counsel. They never say that it's for United States of America until they get to the circuit courts 1 through 11 or the D.C. court. When they go into the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, oh, it's only United States. It's not United States of America. And that's a bona fide Article 3 court. Now, does that start to give you a hint that we got a word game going on here? Boy, it's really important to understand this word game. And this, what Curtis brought up, is just amazing that I'd forgotten about in 2011. I hadn't researched it out. But I'd found enough to know that private law and special law is a bunch of nonsense. We shouldn't be doing it, except in certain cases. But I didn't understand it. So what are they doing? And what can we prove with their stuff? God, I love these confessions. Confession is good for the soul for these liars. So in this case here of Alabama, it says, a general law within the meaning of this article is a law applied to the whole state. So a general law is a law that applies to the whole state. Now we have something else. A local law is a law which applies to any political subdivisions of the state less than the whole. Okay, so that would be like maybe some part of a county or something or whatever. A special or private law. This is a good one. A special or private law within the meaning of this article is one that applies to an individual, association, or corporation. Let me read that one again. A special or private law within the meaning of this article, which applies to an individual, an association, or a corporation. Now let's get back to that, and then we're going to get more, because this is so important to get this concepts down, and if you're hearing it for the first time, it's going to just verbally, I have to see stuff. For me, that's why I'm going to be, I got my homepage, they got it ready, he's how to post up behind the scenes. I just got to get time, but I got two lawsuits I got to write next week. The terms general law and public law are frequently used synonymously, but they are not equivalent to each other. Every general law is necessarily a public law, but every public law as defined is not a general law. A general law is a law which operates throughout the state, alike upon all people or all of a class. Any law affecting the public within the limits of a county or community would be a public law, though not a general law within the meaning of our Constitution. Let me say this again. A general law as used in our Constitution is a law which operates throughout the state, alike upon all people or all of a class. Any law affecting the public within the limits of a county or a community would be a public law, though not a general law within the meaning of our Constitution. The effect of a statute, more than its wording, phraseology, must be determined its character as a public, general, special, or local statute. And they cite a case out of Alabama that's going to be earlier than this one. Now it gets really interesting. So now we have a general law, we have local laws, and we have special and private law. General law is over the whole state. Local law is like a county or a city. And then we got special or private law, which applies to individuals, associations, and corporations. Isn't that just dang special? So we got those three classes. You'll notice that they do not like to use statutes. They use public law or bylaw. Bylaw was in 1946, everything but the kitchen sink. They still use it. It's not the same as bylaw used to be. It's in the Attorney General's Manual, 1947, and it's still used today. And I got the, I think it's the 2000 book on the federal allies. They still use, and it means everything, including just accepted administrative procedures. Whoa, now that's really special. That's really definitive. Oh, I can hang my hat on that puppy, right? How are we supposed to figure this out? How do you fight them? Knowledge, wisdom. Let's go on rear. Let's read another one that I'm going to tie into something else that ties into this Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. It said, it appears to be on question, as we have suggested, that when the Constitution defines a general law to be one that applies to the whole state, and that a particular law is one that applies to a particular subdivision or subdivision of a state less than a whole, it has reference to statutes in their territorial application and not their subject matter. Whoa, is that one hell of a statement. It has reference to statutes in their territorial application and not in their subject matter. Constitutional is supposed to be subject matter. Where does this show up? I found this in when they created in 1982 the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals and the new Federal Court of Claims. And this is in Senate Report 324. It's got a report number of 96-304, and it was done August 3rd, 1979, ordered to be printed. So we go down here to page. So we get to page 9, I think is where it is. And boy, does this have a real meaning here in page 9. The Court of Appeals, or the Federal Circuit, differs from other federal courts of appeals, however, in that its jurisdiction is defined in terms of subject matter rather than geography. Whoa. Its subject matter jurisdiction. And the other is theography. It is local law or it is private law. And private law is for individuals, associations, corporations. Let's see, we have an income tax. It's an individual income tax for individuals. Who are, what is an individual? Is it one of a class of people, or is it, what is it? Now, if you go to Webster's or some of those, it's like I would be an individual separate from the person sitting next to me. In the world of a, they would want to call a human or a man or a woman, it would be each one to be a separate individual. Nope. Not so. Not in the world that we are trapped in. And now I understand what the states are doing and what the federalities are doing and why the income taxes are tied together. And we can prove it. How about those apples? An individual is under 5 United States Code 552A, parenthesis A, parenthesis 2, means. Individual means. So we are giving a new exclusive definition to the word individual and making it a term. It means a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted. Now the question becomes, why would they need to define that to be a citizen of the United States? I thought we had a lot of citizens of the several states. You go back to the 1938 congressional record, and it says citizen of the United States is not supposed to be used except to come against state law and state actors, and only by Congress. So what we have done, we have set up a private entity for an individual, a private law for individuals. And this is why then, you follow this down, going back to this act here that I was talking about, creating the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in 1982, a decision in any one of the 11 regional circuits is not binding on any of the others because it's based on geography. As a result, our federal judicial system lacks the capacity, short of the Supreme Court, to provide a reasonably quick and definitive answers to legal questions of nationwide significance that is based on subject matter jurisdiction. They like to say they got, you don't have subject matter jurisdiction. They're lying. It's based on geography, and this explains it out in plain dang English, and it's their stuff. That's why they created it. There's only one Article 3 appellate court in these United States. That's the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. That's it. The others is based on geography for local or special law, private law. And it says right here, their circuits are not binding on other circuits. That's why they have, they're all over the place. It's private law. And what, and how do they make it private? The states have no authority to be legislating, like in Minnesota, North Carolina, if you go to vote. It's a felony to try to vote as a citizen of Minnesota in Minnesota. It's a felony in North Carolina to try to vote as a citizen of North Carolina. What are they doing? What they are doing is forcing subordination of perjury. They are offering us the only thing to incriminate ourselves, to make us sign up for this private law, for it to be an individual known as a citizen of the United States. That's private law. And because the state is legislating for it, and because the feds are legislating for it, then by the same thing, they are both taxing us to be in that private law status. The feds get their take on it. Then the state says, oh, you have to have the federal private law determinations and put it in the state so we get our piece of the action. Is that starting to make sense? They're not political subdivisions. They're both legislating private laws with different locations. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. And this ties it in to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. It is the only one doing subject matter jurisdiction. It says these other ones is based on geography, where you are found. You go to books and records. Oh, that could have been it.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here, and this stuff all starts tying in together. Federal Register Act, 1935. March 3rd, 1933, Hoover repealed 1,006 statutes. March 4th, 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt started the National Recovery Administration. And by 1935, this is a report that I got here out of the congressional record, out of the government says publication of rules and regulations, House of Representatives Report 280. The National Recovery Administration. By 1935, it says there have been 2,998 administrative orders, 675 executive orders, and they were now law. It is estimated, says the National Recovery Administration, some 10,000 pages of law under the National Recovery Administration. It's also known as the New Deal. And also in the 1935 Federal Register Act, the President of the United States, or federal agency, means President of the United States. Means! Oops! Exclusive use. How does a federal agency mean President of the United States? Well, they all have. We've lost something here somewhere, haven't we? This is unbelievable. And then, of course, they started doing all of these agencies was getting out of control, and FDR was losing his control, so he wanted to get the Administrative Procedures Act to get these agencies that are actually doing all, quote, three branches of government in this private law area. That's in the Administrative Act of 1946. How could this be? How could we not? That is really slick. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It is slick. It is unbelievably amazing. Because it says, see, in this world of private law, we have something called rule and rulemaking. Rule means the whole or any part of an agency statement or general or particular applicability and future effect designed to, quote, implement, interpret, or prescribe law. Implement, that's executive. Interpret, that's judicial. Or prescribe law. That's all the agency. They pass. That's the thing that is done for agencies in 1946 under private law. And it's for a citizen of the United States. And shove it down our throat? Everything you do goes back to the old Star Chambers type stuff. If you go back and look, you can go on Wikipedia, but there's also Supreme Court case, you start looking. We have to incriminate me. I got to incriminate myself. Do we not have a prohibition in the Bill of Rights of self-incrimination? No. It's called trilemma. There are three parts. I must sign up and incriminate myself that I am a citizen of the United States. You can't sit on a federal jury in Alaska. You can't get a driver's license. I have. You can't vote without being a citizen of the United States. I have. Can't get the permanent fund in Alaska without being it. I have. I don't get it now. Can't get a loan without being a U.S. person, which goes back to being a citizen of the United States, which John Thornton researched out. It goes back to the Patriot Act. Why do I keep having to sign up to this thing? Back in a minute.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.